hour three of your Friday edition of Justice and Drew. We've got the roundtable comedian, Brian Miller.
That's me.
And you are you're hosting a new open mic night.
Yes, Tuesday nights, 8:30 at Eric the Red, which is a cool. You turned me on to it. I name dropped you to Eric. The Eric.
Did he remember me?
He did. Oh, absolutely.
So
yeah.
Excited.
Yeah. But yeah, we've been having a good time. 8:30 free show. We should do a comedy showcase. Try to keep it nice and tight. Get you out of there by 10 o'clock so you can get home. And they got some good drink specials. So come out. Free show.
I wish it were not on a... maybe
tough putt for you.
I'm taking some days off around the Christmas holiday. So I will make sure to go to one when I don't have to get up early on a Wednesday morning. Brian McDaniel from Wrong About Everything.
I also have an open mic. Flat Earth Brew, second and fourth Thursday.
I've done it. He's not wrong.
Yeah, and tonight.
And tonight, yes, I will be participating in the Joke Joint comedy contest semifinal. So,
seven.
Thank you very much. 7:30. Come on out.
I'm John Justice. I also have an open mic.
me too.
If you appear near my sofa tonight around 9 o'clock, I'll be into a bottle of wine, watching Return of the Jedi, and I'm sure I'll have many things to say.
I have an open mic. Here it is.
I don't think John has listened to the rest of the show.
All right, we got to get to some phone calls. Let's just play the beginning part of this ad again. This woman who's running for was running for attorney general in Michigan.
She's running for something.
Claiming that, well, you can hear.
If the last few weeks has taught us anything, it's that we need more women in positions of power, not less. So when you're choosing Michigan's next attorney general, ask yourself this. Who can you trust most not to show you their penis in a professional setting? Is it the candidate who doesn't have a penis? I'd say so.
Interesting reaction to that ad. I mean, a lot of people are reacting very differently. I heard the ad, and I kind of... I'm honest. I laughed.
It's right? A gag. This is definitely it's a bit.
It's funny if it's satire, but it's not. She's 100% serious, which is super disturbing.
I think her story checks out, and I want to sign up for her newsletter.
This is...
You don't know if it checks out?
My view on it is simply from a, I don't know what exactly she was going for. It just comes from a sort of the way she presented an inflection part of it. Is she trying to be funny, or was she trying to be serious? I mean, I was actually serious when, if she had capped it with, and I don't have a penis, to me, that would have been, okay, you just put that all in a nice package.
Right. And Eric from Chicago on tweets, using the hashtag TCNT, says that's a classic example of what SNL should be doing. And it did. It kind of started off with the vibe of a sketch comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's real. If she would have tagged it, it would have sort of put the bow on it
right.
And said, all right, she's serious. I mean, she's using this to promote herself and to try to gain support. But she's doing it with a little tongue-in-cheek, and she's doing it with a little sense of humor there. But she didn't do that.
There's a part of me that thinks that she actually is using that as a legitimate, you know what, I don't have a penis, so you don't have to worry about it.
I think that's the trick, is that you could kind of make the legit argument that way, or you could make the joke, but because it's a little bit blended, it's a little neither fish nor fowl.
Well, a question I have, not knowing kind of what the climate or who the players are in Michigan, is that it sounded like that there were male options for the Democrat nomination for that post. So my question would be, was there possibly some allegations against one of the men?
Some context that we're not aware of?
Possibly.
Yeah. Let's go to Kevin in Fridley. Good morning, Kevin.
Morning, guys. One of the things that nobody's talking about is the reverse to everything that's in the news, and that is men being sexually harassed by women. And of course it's not to the same percentage, but it happens on a daily basis and is rampant, but men are not is likely to report it because it's emasculating to men, right?
Is it really rampant?
Well, let me...
It's happened to me many times over the course of my career, and I think it happens all the time, right?
Tell us a story.
They can get away with it a lot more, and then when I hear an ad like that, I thought it was a spoof. It's just disgusting that's what our political scene has come to, that we can use the word penis.
Yeah.
If you don't have a penis, doesn't mean that you can't sexually harass, right? And it happens all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I've worked in politics for 20 years, and have I felt that I've been sexually harassed by an employer? Yes. The difference is I didn't ever feel like I was going to be raped. And I think that's a little bit of the difference when it's male, female, is that I knew that, you know, might have an adverse employment effect on me, but at no point in time did I feel like I was going to be, you know, physically harmed.
Well, we're, and we're so, look, we're
there, look, Kevin's right in the sense that there is still a double standard there.
Yeah, no, that, yeah, I
men,
agree. Yeah.
Men can be sexually harassed. It is emasculating. It is, there is that fear of reporting it, and you're gonna you stand a good chance of getting a raft of crap from your buddies. You know, I mean, it's that aspect of it, too, where it's like, you know, there's that scene from Horrible Bosses, right? Charlie Day's playing a character who's being sexually harassed by his bosses. And what do his two best friends do? They're like, what are you talking about? She's hot. It's great. Why, you know, why are you getting so upset about this? They throughout the whole movie, the gag is that they think he's being ridiculous for complaining about being sexually harassed by his boss.
Right. And certainly if that goes and bothers a dude, that's fine. But we're. And we're waiting, and we're walking into sort of uncharted waters here. But to me, this also comes down to the fundamental differences between men and between women. There was an old stupid joke that I used to just in conversation talk about back when the 976 and 900 numbers were popular. And there was a stupid joke that I used to do was, you know, hey, why are there no 976-900 numbers for women, right? And there was none of that because a woman could basically go into the phone book, pick any random male number, call up any random dude, start talking sexy to him, and 9 times out of 10, he'd probably go along with it.
Or wait for the obscene caller, which used to be a thing that you would get randomly. Right. Guys would call you, yeah.
I mean, we don't talk about very often just the differences between men and women. And sure, there can be guys that can be harassed by women, but mostly dudes are going to roll along with it. And that power structure that exists in society between men and women is drastically different.
Absolutely. Or even you look at something like, could a woman buy a gun and be a mass shooter? Of course. But let's look at all the names of all the mass shooters and see how many women's names are on there. It doesn't mean it has never happened or couldn't happen, but you've got to address the percentages. You've got to, you know, factor that in.
Well, and in the example that I gave, I use that to my advantage in the workplace, but I also didn't have the threat of being only considered somebody who got promoted because of their sexuality.
That's a great point.
That was never going to happen to me.
And I would
obviously.
And I would imagine, and I could be, and just feel free to correct me, but I would imagine that in a workplace environment, if you had a female superior, right, who had you know, a male employee under them, and that female superior sexually harassed that male employee, if they went to HR, the likelihood of something happening to that female superior is probably more likely than if the circumstances are reversed in a lot of these situations where a lot of women's concerns, especially when we're talking about like the Matt Lauers and in politics, where we talked about it yesterday. That culture fosters that type of behavior because all it takes is one woman to go to the individual between them and, for the sake of argument, a Matt Lauer, and to have those concerns dismissed. That woman's not going to go and report anything ever again because she knows it's going to be dismissed. And anybody around her knows that happened probably isn't going to go report anything because they know nothing's going to happen. And we talked about similar circumstances where we've complained about individuals that we worked with because of their misconduct in other arenas and because of how high up they were on the ladder, how important they were. Oh, that's just how they are.
Yeah.
You know? So, I'm sorry. The argument that women are harassing men, too, no, it's just that is not the storyline. That is not as prevalent as what we're dealing with right now. And when we have a story of a woman doing to a man what Matt Lauer allegedly did to that woman, then we can go and have that conversation. But so far, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
651-989-5855. We will continue to take your calls. A lot of Twitter activity on this as well. John on Twitter using the hashtag TCMT says physical harm is not the standard for what qualifies as sexual harassment. Of course, you know, there's a lot more that can go into it there. But we're going to shift gears a little bit. The NFL is still reeling, right? Still having a rough year. Ratings are down. Stadium attendance is way down in a lot of cities. Part of that is because they put two teams in L.A.
Oh, man, did you see the Rams game when they would show the field goal, when they would go to kick the field goals? And it would be completely empty behind the goalposts in the stands. It was astonishing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a really bad idea. Two teams in L.A., nobody in L.A. cares.
No.
Yeah. So when you look at the overall attendance numbers, you have to factor that in. But they're still dealing with the anthem protests, right? They still got some players kneeling. You still got a lot of people that are very upset by that. You got a lot of people that are boycotting the NFL because they're not doing anything about that. So in this weird negotiation between owners and players, They are poised to donate. Owners are poised to donate nearly $100 million, including some contributions from players, over the next 7 years to support the favorite causes of the players. But according to this Fox News editorial, in a perfect show of how incompetent they are, the owners will get nothing from the players in return. No promise to stop kneeling during the anthem or disrespecting the flag or any other meaningful concessions. Now, the owners have taught the players that disrupting the business that feeds them all will bring the players more satchels of cash to toss around to their pet causes in a frenzy of virtue signaling. This is a very strange move on the NFL owners' part to try to sort of mend the relationships between the players and the owners over a lot of these protest issues.
Is it? Go ahead.
First off, I still think it's a ridiculous non-issue. It's a start the game 5 minutes later. Turn the game on 2 minutes in, and you'll see nothing. I don't know. But beyond that, there's the issue where Eric Reed from the NFL, one of the players, has said they're basically just reallocating a lot of the money that they were giving to like breast cancer charities and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like not only are the owners kind of they're simultaneously like making what you could call concessions and also kind of doing nothing. You know, they're like, oh, yeah, well, the pink ribbon money, we'll just siphon that over there. So it's like, what are you really doing?
Every week there seems to be a bunch of stories that come out showing the snapshots of the stadiums being empty. Mm. Is this one of those circumstances where we're just talking about it, or is this something that is an actual growing problem of attendance at the games?
It's an actual problem.
Yeah. I think it's an actual problem, and as somebody, you know, I'm extraordinarily interested in football.
Sure.
I'm in way too many fantasy football leagues. Been a Chicago Bears fan. I've been really into it, and and this year. And it's not because of the protests, it's because of lots of things. I have watched hardly any NFL like live. I wouldn't go to a game with free tickets because of all the hassles that go along with it. I certainly wouldn't pay the money to go to one. I don't think the product is anywhere near as good. And with fantasy football and with so much information being available mobily, I don't need to sit down, go to a game, or watch it on TV. Yeah. Anything I need, I can get on my phone almost in real time.
Do you think that's more of the culprit of what's causing people to not go to the stadium over what's being made of the empty stadiums, which is all the protesting going on, do you think it's a combo?
I think the protesting is relevant. I do think there's an aspect of it, but I do think that the larger issues are things like what Brian McDaniel was mentioning, the availability of just being able to watch clips and highlights on demand moments after they happen.
Yeah, NFL Red Zone. You know, you can sit at home and watch all the touchdowns from all the games, or you can go to one game and see two touchdowns.
Right. Why am I going to sit there and watch all the boring parts of a football game when I know as soon as something exciting happens, I can get an alert on my phone, I can click on that alert, and I can watch that highlight within moments. I can have Twitter open, and I can just set up a feed with nothing but... I can set up my own little NFL Red Zone kind of thing on Twitter, because every sports outlet is posting little videos and GIFs moments after they happen.
And there's a lot of factors. The anthem protest is a factor, but you know, there's the fact that the games have been worse, the injuries have made the games worse, the reffing has been terrible.
It has been awful.
The instant replay has further dragged things out. In terms of stadium attendance, the NFL's priced themselves out of the market. Most people with a middle-class job couldn't afford to go to an NFL game with their family.
No,
it's crazy expensive.
No. If I took my whole family to an NFL game, man, that would be...
It'd be $1,000.
That'd be 3 months of discretionary income out the window.
It would cost you $1,000 to drive your family to the stadium, park, you know, buy, get a little bit of food. You know, I'm not talking blowing out, get a beer or two and a hot dog, watch the game back. I bet you come back with a grand.
Well, and you know, the NFL, not ever all of them, but the average NFL fan at a game acts quite different than they do, you know, at a Twins game or something like that. And I would be very hesitant to take my younger kids there. And because, you know, as somebody who goes to Minnesota sports venues, usually not rooting for Minnesota sports teams, it can get ugly. I'm an adult. I get it. That's all fine. But, you know, do I want my 7-year-old daughter hearing that? I really don't.
Let's go and talk with Don in St. Paul. Good morning, Don. Welcome to Justice and Drew, Twin Cities News Talk. What are your thoughts? Hello, Don.
Oh, yeah, hi. How are you?
Good. Make sure your radio's down.
Talking to my imaginary friend here.
That's right. I do it all the time.
But in any event, you know, I'm surprised people have finally caught up on the NFL
And because the bottom line is Major League Sports has been taken over by progressive years ago. I started boycotting them years ago when, for example, here Blackstone on what's that show? It's a sports ESPN show. It called our national anthem a war anthem. And this was years ago. And then they brought that gay player into the league, okay? Now, Sam, that was his name, he ran a sub-5 point. Well, he ran a 5.340 in the combine. Was he a tight end? I mean, there was no way he should have even made it into the league. And as a semi, as a
that
guy,
was a, that was a think, that was a that was a call.
I think you called the wrong station.
Yeah, that was. We'll just call that a call.
We have a whole station for that.
651-989-5855. If you want to talk to Sam, screening your phone calls. Coming up, come to Wisconsin, state to market itself to Twin Cities workers. Wisconsin Republican Governor Scott Walker wants to launch a, well, we'll tell you how much he's going to spend, marketing campaign to persuade millennials and military vets to move to Wisconsin. We'll get to that. First off, though, we do want to give you a preview of your parody song contest.
That's right. Five parody song snippets all referencing stories and topics and interviews that we've done on the course of the show over the course of this week. The first caller after 8:30, do not call now, the first caller that can correctly identify what stories are being referenced in these parody songs is going to win our prize for this week.
Bidet Marcus Scott. Bidet Marcus Scott. Bidet Marcus Scott. That racist lake is called Bidet Marcus Scott. It's the most bitterest time of the year. They've been invited, it's true, but they've been called fake news, and so they've made it clear. It's the most bitterest time of the year. They'll put a special on the TV. It was a huge scandal, you see. But instead of blaming Mr. Clinton, they laid the whole thing on Miss Lewinsky. Matt. Has been canned! Has she ever bothered to try to see if it's true? Or was it just a way to get in? If she's Native American, then I'm from the moon. She's been called Pocahontas again.
So after 8:30, you call 651-999-5855 if you can correctly identify what those songs are referencing, and you will win this week's prize.
Our prize is tickets to the World's Toughest Rodeo on January 5th.
That's coming back.
It is.
I'm so excited.
Wow, so woo! Soon. This it year just time. Flew by.
Sure did.
Justice.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, Justice and Drew, Sam, of course, screening your phone calls, 651-989-5855. We got the Friday Roundtable, got some fun stuff to get to coming up. Brian Miller, Brian McDaniel. Right now, we have breaking news.
The Robert Mueller, this is just breaking during the last break here. Robert Mueller has officially charged former Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn with, quote, willfully and knowingly making false, fictitious, and fraudulent statements to the FBI regarding conversations with Russia's ambassador. So what we all kind of knew, Flynn lied.
You know, right.
He was talking with the FBI about his relationships or about the conversations that he had, and now the charges have come down from Mueller's team.
Yeah, and apparently, according to Bloomberg, he's going to plead guilty. He's scheduled to appear at a plea hearing in D.C. at about 9:30 our time this morning. And apparently, he's going to be putting in a, let me back up here. He's already secured indictments against Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort, as well as the guilty plea from a junior foreign policy advisor. And they are expecting that he will plead guilty in that plea hearing at 9:30. 651-989-5855. Talking football, Super Bowl. Article out of Care 11. Steve Kramer, president and CEO of Minneapolis Downtown Council, asking or answering the question, if the Vikings make the Super Bowl, what happens? Not do they win.
Yeah, right.
But what's I saw the
spread?
That. Yeah. What happens if the Vikings make the Super Bowl? Right? Kramer says, in the scenario that they do. Now, again, this is... something that's never been done before, at least a team playing the big game in their own stadium.
Right. Right. We've had a couple of instances of teams playing in their own city.
Right. Again, LA, I think they played at the Coliseum one
Correct.
Year.
Yeah. And I think San Francisco went to the Super Bowl when it was in San Francisco, but it wasn't at their home stadium. Okay. Those are the only two instances that I'm aware of off the top of my head. But no team has ever played in their home stadium.
I get the feeling that when the Vikings make the Super Bowl, I apologize to everybody. When the Vikings make the Super Bowl, that's not going to be like the only first time that's ever happened. I get the feeling there's a long list of firsts yeah. that'll be taking place. When you look at all the injuries that the team has accrued over throughout the year, when you look at the quarterback situation, I get the feeling there's going to be a lot of specific firsts that'll be taking place all underneath that. Going to their home stadium for the first time.
Do you think the Super Bowl committee is kind of secretly rooting for the Vikings not to because we'll get so much more out of town traffic?
I've heard
that theory, and I wonder if that's true or if it's like the Super Bowl is so big that it doesn't matter.
I've heard the same rumblings, and I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I think you would actually it would make this Super Bowl even bigger.
It's a great narrative.
Say, right, your home team's actually, oh my God, this has never happened before. Let's see what happens. How much of an advantage is it going to be? The Vikings are playing at home for the Super Bowl. I think it makes it an even bigger deal. And the Super Bowl is big enough. It's going to draw pretty much the same number of people no matter what two teams are in it. Ratings might be, networks might care because the ratings aspect will vary depending on how much of a national following the two teams have. But as far as the activities around the game itself in the city, no, I don't think it would have an impact whatsoever.
Well, and this has nothing to do with me being a Chicago Bears fan, but I finally feel comfortable coming out with this. Case Keenum has made me feel uncomfortable at times. I don't feel safe.
You can't say that. Even like this, you can't say anything like that.
You're not allowed to joke about that stuff.
No, seriously.
Steve, like joking about a bomb on a plane now.
Steve, you can't say that either still.
I'm not on a plane.
Just stop.
Can you say bomb on the radio?
Just all they of say, you stop.
They say bomb at Brian McDaniel shows all the time.
Steve Kramer, president and CEO of the Minneapolis Downtown Council. He says in this scenario, they would expect a much higher involvement in pre-Super Bowl events and bigger crowds showing up coming from the region. Hotels might take a small hit with fewer people traveling with another market, but fans from the Dakotas and Iowa would need hotels too. He went on to say, I think what will be different, though, is the incredible excitement for the upper Midwest fan base for the Vikings. I think they would flock up here like never before to be part of this experience. What from outside of the boundary of the stadium that's been set up?
Minnesota's a big state. And you got Viking, coming down from Duluth, down from up north.
They probably come take part in the festivities that are going, the carnival atmosphere and all the extra events, even if they don't have tickets to the game.
Well, it's kind of funny, too, because we're assuming it's like the Super Bowl is a regular game where normal people can afford to buy. It's like, no, it's the mega wealthy people are going to come to see the Super Bowl because it's the Super Bowl. It's not like, I couldn't get a ticket if I wanted to, and it would cost me and my wife 10 grand to go.
Right. Well, 2016, when the Cubs were in the World Series, I went down to Chicago for all three home games. I didn't go to the game. I went to the bars right outside in Wrigleyville. I had an amazing time, probably more fun than if I would have been in the stadium.
And it was
a lot cheaper.
Yeah. I did that for a Depeche Mode concert I couldn't get tickets into. I just sat outside and listened at the door because I didn't have tickets to get in.
Aww. You're like the little Match Girl, but with Depeche Mode.
Very similar.
The sad thing was, Sean, that was believable.
I know. That joke didn't really work, did it? Because it was like, I think that really happened.
Yeah. I'm going to start calling you the little Depeche girl from now on.
I'm oddly okay with that. Out of all the things that I have been called, I'll take it. Out of the Pioneer Press, Wisconsin Republican Governor Scott Walker wants to launch a nearly $7 million national marketing campaign to persuade millennials and military vets to move to his state to help with a worker shortage. Walker, earlier this week, called on the legislature to approve the funding for $6.8 million. It would be an ad campaign before the end of the current session in early 2018. He said the marketing campaign would pitch Wisconsin as a more affordable place for millennials to live, where they could be spending more time in a canoe, having a drink with friends, or attending a concert rather than sitting in traffic. He said it was critically important to get more bodies. Walker said the effort would be a collaborative marketing campaign that involves the state's chief economic development and job creation agency and the tourism department. You guys think something like that could be effective at all?
Well, I used to work at Minnesota's Department of Employment and Economic Development. We did stuff like this all the time, but mostly it was people trying to steal our people. Back then, the main culprit was Sioux Falls. They were trying to be the big thing. I don't know. I mean, part of me intuitively thinks the best way you get people to move to Wisconsin is to have like really, 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 really good higher education. They go to college there and then they stay, but that's just me.
The effort would include $3.5 million in ads targeting military vets and their families, and $3 million marketing Wisconsin as a destination for young professionals, particularly those already living in the nearby cities of Detroit, Minneapolis, and Chicago.
See, that to me is kind of a dumb angle to approach this at. The only thing that's going to get a young professional to move to Wisconsin is if they get a job offer.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty direct.
Right. I mean, I've moved around a lot, and it's always because I've gotten a job offer from an area and weighed all the factors and is like, okay, this seems appealing.
Part of the effort would be to woo back young adults who attended college in Wisconsin. The key time frame to reach them is 4 or 5 years after graduation, when they start thinking about where they want to live long term and raise children. To what you were saying, Drew, the push to attract more workers comes as Foxconn Technology Group proceeds with its plan to open the display screen factory between Milwaukee and Chicago that could employ up to 13,000 workers over the next 15 years. So basically but isn't that kind of doing the job for Foxconn?
Yeah. Also, the area between Chicago and Milwaukee is possibly the worst place in the world. It's the most ugly, depressing stretch of awfulness.
Rockford and Beloit, he's talking to you.
You're on notice, Rockford and Beloit.
You're accurate. I've driven through there.
That
a
is
an times.
Awful. Like,
I've known some people from that area.
Wisconsin's whole state slogan should just be stick to Madison. Wonderful city.
Stay out of the southeast corner.
Walker said the need for workers goes beyond Foxconn and includes employers across the street. He urged conference attendees to lobby their local lawmaker to approve funding for the campaign. I would say wait. Give it a few years for the policies of the Minneapolis City Council to kick in. and then start, or maybe now it's time already, right? 651-989-5855. All right, coming up. Got a couple of different articles we'll get to. First off, there's a story out of Care 11, which I feel like I'm the only one that has bothered to read this based off of current headlines. Managing holiday stress for men. It seems like an odd time to put out an article like this.
You want to help me manage my holiday stress?
We'll also get into.
I feel violated now.
There's a piece out of the Daily Mail about why angry people are going to die sooner.
Uh oh.
So both of those are coming up.
And it is time for your parody song contest. 5 parody song snippets, all referencing stories we covered over the course of this week. Your job is to figure out what stories are being referenced at 651-989-5855. We will play it for you again when we come back.
Justice.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Final segment of your Justice and Drew Friday edition. Brian McDaniel, Brian Miller in for the roundtable. This is the time of the week when we do the parody song contest. 5 parody song snippets, all referencing stuff we talked about over the course of this week. We'll play it one more time, and then we'll start taking your calls at 651-989-5855. The first person to correctly identify all 5 is going to win tickets to the world's toughest rodeo. When is that happening, Sam?
January 5th.
January 5th. That's a really fun event.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've gone to it every year. It's a lot of fun. So here is this week's parody song montage.
But day Marcus Scott. But day Marcus Scott. But day Marcus Scott. That racist lake is called Bidet Marcus Scott.
It's the most bitterest time of the year. They've been invited, it's true, but they've been called fake news, and so they've made it clear. It's the most bitterest time of the year. They'll put a special on the TV. It was a huge scandal, you see. But instead of blaming Mr. Clinton, they laid the whole thing on Miss Lewinsky. Matt. Has McCann! Has she ever bothered to try to see if it's true? Or was it just a way to get in? If she's Native American, then I'm from the moon. She's been called Pocahontas again.
That one falls into that to that bizarro category of the parody song contest when I want the whole version.
I mean, that was beautiful.
I want the full 2 minute.
I gotta give my guy credit for
version. Yeah,
for agreeing to sing that.
Yeah, the moon line was really good. From the moon, that got me right here. Really did.
All right, we'll start with Tom calling from Chaska. Good morning, Tom. Go ahead.
Good morning. The first one is Lick Calhoun's name change to Bada Makiska that took place this last week. Second one is the news people that are boycotting the annual White House gala Christmas party, but are going to send a reporting crew to report on the event instead. Third one's Monica Lewinsky speaks out about the new special coming out that's called the Monica Lewinsky scandal rather than the Bill Clinton scandal. Four is Matt Lauer being outed from NBC over sexual misconduct. And five is Trump speaking to the Navajo Code Talkers. And he brought up Pocahontas or Elizabeth Warren.
Wow. That was thorough.
That's impressive.
And fast.
Was
well done. Yeah. Bang, bang, bang. Well, I like that.
Succinct.
Well done, Tom from Chaska. You're going to, we'll see you at the World's Toughest Rodeo.
Wow.
That's a lot of fun. It's a really great event at the XL Energy Center in St. Paul. Hang on the line, Sam. We'll get all of your relevant info. Well done.
I feel like there needs to be, when they're that thorough, at least like, oh, yeah, and you get the bonus prize. You know,
I was thinking about that, like style points or something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Tom, you get a hug from John.
No.
You know what? Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
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 I'll give him a hug. I was impressed.
I'm okay with that.
John and Brian.
I think I could use one more than he needs one.
I'll throw one in too.
Out of Care 11, we have a story that we need to get to that we've been holding on to all week long. But real quick, I just thought it was funny. Out of Care 11, there's no doubt the holidays can be hectic. And while the season can be stressful for all, we can't forget about the guys.
Oh, we haven't.
I saw this and I was like, really, Care 11? Timing-wise, you know, I think men may be more likely to internalize stress around the holidays.
Yeah, a lot of them have found outlets.
Says one Park Nicolet psychotherapist, Emily Bolthus. Well, you know, some of us don't internalize the stress around the holidays.
I internalize booze.
I'm right with you on that. Yeah, I spent a lot at the liquor store yesterday. So, guys, we wanted to hear from you on our Care 11 Facebook page.
Oh, God.
So we asked, what are you most...
Trolling for likes, Care 11.
Maybe this was the plan, because they asked him, what are you most stressed about this holiday season? I want to know what the editorial process was when they were sifting through the answers. They said they heard from a lot of men. Some of you made us laugh, like Travis, who said, being single, leave me alone, Grandma.
Harvey Grandma's trying to date him?
Harvey from the Netherlands wrote, indictment.
A lot of you are concerned about money and tackling the shopping list. Josh has said, where is it coming from and how much is being spent? Dan said, buying presents, it's very overwhelming.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
They talked with Allie Kaplan, style editor for MSP Magazine, and she has some tips on keeping your holiday spirit high for the guys. Don't wait until Christmas Eve. I guess that would be the first piece of advice. You tend to see a lot of men in the malls around Christmas Eve, and this is because they've waited until the last minute. I'm sorry. I just can't take any of this seriously at all in the wake of all the news.
No.
Just, no, no.
Although, true story, my dad is a classic wait till too late guy, and one year he was like, oh, it's Christmas Eve, and I haven't got anything for your mom. So he took me to the mall, and we went Christmas shopping for my mom. He's at a jewelry store, and there was a news crew doing a thing about people waiting to the last minute, and they filmed my dad shopping for jewelry, and then we're watching the news that night, and he got busted on TV buying my mom's present.
That's awesome.
The only takeaway from this that I will say, though, and we'll couple this with what we've been talking about all week long, and that is it has been, for the moment at least, somewhat refreshing that amidst all of these horrible allegations with these with all these public figures, elected officials and media types, that it hasn't, at least from what I've seen, it hasn't turned into a very anti-man thing. I haven't seen that narrative be put forward. You know what I mean? I'm a teeny bit surprised on that.
Well, it's out there. I mean, if you go, you know, certain corners.
I mean, apart from that ad that we played.
You see, the Michigan Attorney General from perspective.
Yeah, there's plenty of that out there, but it hasn't sort of become, it hasn't been mainstream.
Right.
You know, yet, but, you know, we'll see. And every time, I always said this during a break, every time another name pops up, my first reaction is, well, guys, it's been a good run.
We
men have had a wonderful run on this planet for a really long time, you know, and not just this country, the planet, you know, and maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to take a back seat.
Yeah. Maybe we'll be less stressed around the holidays if we just take a back seat.
Yeah. Right. I would like to learn how to bake.
Yeah.
So we do have an article here from the Daily Mail about angry people dying sooner that we'll get to here in just a second, time permitting. But there has been a story that I think popped up last weekend of a circumstance that
I went
took
to,
place. There we go.
So my family tradition for Thanksgiving is, when we don't have any extended family in the area, we always just take our little immediate family out to a nice restaurant for Thanksgiving. This year we went to Stella's Fish Cafe in Uptown. Yeah. Really, really fantastic place. And then the next day, you sent out a tweet, Brian Miller, about bathroom attendance, which I thought was interesting.
And I was at
Stella's Fish Cafe.
So a lot of promo for them today.
So yeah, we're at dinner, and my son goes to use the restroom, and he comes back to the table with this sort of just very confused look on his face, and he literally says, "There's a man in the bathroom just sort of playing on his phone." And then when I went to wash my hands, he put soap in my hands. What is that? It's Stella's Fish Cafe, at least on Thanksgiving, or maybe.
No, they all the time.
They still have bathroom attendants, at least in the men's bathroom. Mm-hmm. I can't speak for the ladies.
They don't have those in women's rooms ever.
Ever?
No, women don't have women bathroom attendants.
What the hell is the bathroom attendant thing, and why is it still a thing?
I agree. It's a vestige. It's like an old custom.
Who likes it?
Well, here's the thing
like,
to me.
Yay, bathroom attendant.
The thing to me is that, like, I feel like a huge jerk if I don't tip the guy, but it feels very condescending to give a guy $1 for handing me a paper towel. Like, we're just trading equally sized pieces of paper. My thought's like, how about I just dry my hand on the $1 bill, throw that in the trash, and we'll just call the whole awkward iteration off.
Well, I mean, honestly, we live in a time where we don't want anyone to come to our door.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We don't want anyone to call us on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
The bathroom attendant falls into that. We don't want to have that forced interaction, especially when there is kind of a monetary obligation that
comes along. That's the last place I want forced interaction. I would trade 50 people knocking on my door a day over forced bathroom interaction with a stranger.
All right. I'm in the minority. Okay, that's been a long time since I've been to a place that has a bathroom attendant. Probably since I've been married, for crying out loud.
You'd have to leave your house.
So, but during the clubbing years, I remember going to, you know, I went going out to various clubs with, you know, with the guys and all that, and having the bathroom attendant there. I liked the bathroom attendant. It made me feel special about me. There's a guy in here who's handing me things. You know, here you go, sir. He's all dressed nice. He's wanting to assist me. You know, and I thought it was kind of cool. I'm at a place where I got a dude. here who's going to help me with some stuff in the bathroom.
When I saw the bathroom attendant, my first thought was, well, I guess I'm going to have to drink my own pee like Kevin Costner in Waterworld, because I'm definitely not coming back in here a second time until I find a toilet without a toll booth attached to it.
Yeah. That's what it is.
I had no idea that this was only a male bathroom phenomenon.
I found that out 2 years ago. I started asking my female friends, and they were like, what do you mean bathroom attendant? Like, they didn't even know that we had them, much less they don't have them.
Well, yeah, that makes more sense.
Talk about male privilege.
They go in groups, though. They go together. They're their own bathroom attendants.
Each other. No, it's not. No.
Put soap in each other's hand?
Hold on. That's not male privilege. You're missing the point here. Okay. The reason why there's only a male bathroom attendant is because dudes, you know, don't take as good care of themselves as women do. There's no need to have a woman bathroom attendant. Way more cleanly.
It's a physical manifestation of your conscience.
You know what I found out for the first time? Well, or something that never occurred to me. I was actually at the same building that the Acme Comedy Club is in. I was on one of the office levels that's above it, and I had my shoes off, and I didn't want to put my shoes back on, but I wanted to go to the bathroom, so I walked to the bathroom, and I was walking there with one of the guys there, and he's like, you're not going to wear your shoes in the bathroom? And I'm like, well, what does it matter? And he's like, isn't it wet on the floor? And I'm like, no.
All right,
like,
I got you.
No. Yeah, like, we don't. No,
you don't miss.
Yeah. No, we don't miss.
Yeah, and guys like, miss.
He said you can't walk into a single bathroom without just splashing around. And I'm like, that is disgusting.
You know, it's funny.
I would not walk into a bathroom without shoes on if that was something I had to think about. I've never, ever, 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 ever had to think about that.
So Brian Miller,
brothers,
you had a look on your face, and I was right there with you with a look on your face, right when you were describing that, but. When you got to your conclusion, you make a valid point.
Yeah. Like, that makes sense. I've never had to think about that.
Yeah.
Well, let me let you know what happens when you flush a toilet. There is dispersal in the air, which then probably...
I'm talking about more than just flushing a toilet.
It probably settles on the ground. Uh-huh. So, you're disgusting. And
whatever.
I hope you don't have any...
Do you put your shoes on every time you go to the bathroom in your own house?
Tough talk, pee feet.
When I saw...
I love
your new nickname.
I have never... You know what? You call me P-Feet. I'm going to go straight to HR. Brian's the only one who can get away with that because he doesn't work here.
Tam P-Foot.
Can't fire Brian. He doesn't really work here.
Exactly.
Drew, that's Tamanthy.
Yeah, apparently my name is Tam now. So there you go.
So when you retweeted... Those were your tweets, Brian Miller.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. The bathroom attendant tweets.
See, I thought that it wouldn't... This is so funny, because then you don't even know this. Because I've got Drew set up for running... I get his notifications, right? Because we do it so that way we know when we're tweeting.
Mine too.
And Sam's too. So, when you tweeted, I thought it was your son.
No.
That's what had happened to. So, I was really confused.
Yeah.
So, I texted to Drew, and the whole thing made me laugh anyways, because the story was funny. But I texted to Drew, and I said, you know, it's really funny, because there was all this hubbub... And, you know, controversy over the allowing transgender individuals into a bathroom. I've never heard, this is the first time I've heard of any single instance of anybody having an issue with somebody in the bathroom. They felt like they didn't need to be there. And it turns out it wasn't somebody who's transgender, it was the bathroom attendant,
somebody
for crying out loud.
To be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that bathroom attendant is like a high skilled job, but if anybody deserves at least $15 an hour. It's that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, here's a question. If a bathroom attendant gets a promotion...
The things he must hear. Right,
of course. If a bathroom attendant gets a promotion, does he get to go work in a better bathroom in a better restaurant, or does he just get to go to a better room in that place? Do they just, like, stand in, like a broom closet next to the thing or whatever? Stand in the kitchen?
Yeah, what's the career path?
Yeah, I don't know. Is it a better room or is it a better bathroom? Yeah. I don't know.
I would imagine that the...
You hear about Ken? He landed the Hilton. That's good. That's a good bathroom.
I would imagine the level of places that have bathroom attendants has probably gone up over the years. Like I would imagine there's like it had to be a really nice place to have a bathroom attendant nowadays. I would imagine before you'd go down. Like I would not imagine that most clubs nowadays would have a bathroom.
Well,
attendant
I think
anymore.
There's different reasoning for having them in certain areas and certain venues. For something like a club, it's probably more of a security thing.
Yeah drugs and stuff.
Yeah, because exactly.
Stella's, it's like a politeness or
that makes all the sense in the world why he was asking to pat me down.
No, that was different.
I worked in a comedy club that had a bathroom attendant.
Because you're not going to find drugs there.
It was a nightclub afterwards or whatever, and there was this bathroom. And one time I came in the bathroom, you know, I'm there all night, and the bathroom attendant was dropping a deucer there. And
So
what I did was I waited by the sink, and he finishes up, and he comes to the sink, and I handed him a paper towel, and I said, "That'll be a dollar." He didn't think it was funny at all.
Oh, what has happened?
Does the bathroom attendant get bathroom breaks?
Apparently so. It's getting high on his own supply.
I still can't get over Sam's pee feet.
I don't step and pee in the bathroom because girls don't pee all
okay,
over the floor.
Okay, this is just... I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place because there's not enough time to get into the article that I have here in front of me, but I don't want this conversation to continue any longer. So you know what?
I'm talking about my pee pee.
When there was only one pee footprints in the sand, that was when Sam was just walking. That was just her. That's her pee feet.
That's a tough one. This is a hard time getting that one out. You know what?
Socks on. It's fine.
So this will actually give us ample amount of time, but we don't normally have at the end of Friday's show, and that is to allow the opportunity for both of our roundtable guests, Brian McDaniel and Brian Miller, to do some proper promotion of where they are going to be at. Where can people see you? What do you have going on, Brian Miller?
Hey, the big one, Acme Comedy Company, December 26th to the 31st, all up through New Year's Eve. We got nine shows.
You can go slower. We got time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nine shows at Acme, December 26th to the 31st, New Year's Eve. I know Drew's going to be there. I think John, you're going to be there.
I'm going to be there.
I think Sam's going to be there.
Nate
Abshire
are co-headlining.
Yep.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be a fantastic show. So
I can't wait.
I'm working on a bit of a bathroom attendance. I've incorporated Drew's story into said thing. So come out and see the finished product.
Ooh.
I might incorporate Sam into the bit now.
Please do.
Brian McDaniel?
I will be at the Joke Joint tonight in, I think it's Lilydale is where that is. And then actually Brian and I are going to be working together on Thursday, December 21st.
Right.
At a Toys for Tots combo.
Oh, nice.
Musical comedy, stand-up comedy event. That'll be at the Driftwood Char Bar, 8 o'clock on December 21st.
Sam, where are you going to be this weekend?
At a cheerleading competition, actually.
As will I.
Let's hold off on giving the specific details of that.
Not going to do that.
Check out the Minnesota Beer Cast. We had a fantastic show last night introducing a new cider to the market, Blake's Hard Cider, a recent addition to the Twin Cities market. So learn about that on this week's edition of the Minnesota Beer Cast, which you can find on the iHeartRadio app.
I'll be live tweeting during my viewing of Return of the Jedi tonight, if anybody's interested. Right around 8 o'clock.
Great.
That's all I got.
I'm Chris Addison. Here's a look.